Good afternoon, 4:30 and 76 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
Anything they asked for, we found a way to determine quickly whether the answer was yes or no.
Governor Bevin is coming to Northeast Kentucky tomorrow to make what is being billed as a major economic development announcement. Bevin claims his administration's pro-business attitude has made the difference.
AK Steel has its best first quarter in 9 years.
An Inez woman finds out tomorrow if she'll have to spend the rest of her life in prison.
In sports, the Ohio Valley Conference may be losing one of its key members.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly clear and mild this evening with a low of around 50 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Governor Bevin has called a press conference for tomorrow in Greenup County to make what he has called a major economic development announcement. Several news sources are reporting that the Republican will detail an investment of $1.3 billion in a new aluminum plant in Northeast Kentucky. The governor is scheduled to make the announcement at 1 p.m. at the McConnell House in Wortland. The Kentucky legislature approved an incentive package to encourage the investment during this year's session. House Majority Leader Jonathan Schell says lawmakers authorized the governor to borrow up to $15 million for the project. Schell spoke with KET.
It will create 1,000 construction jobs from the estimations that were given, around, I think, 500 permanent jobs at an average salary of $75,000 a year in one of the most vulnerable economically deprived areas of our state.
Governor Bevin has said that the General Assembly's approval of right-to-work legislation was instrumental in the unnamed company's decision to locate in Kentucky.
Speaking to a group of investors in New York, Governor Bevin hinted at tomorrow's economic development announcement. He did not go into detail about the plans in place, but he did say the company in question is responding to Kentucky's red tape reduction efforts.
Our ability to streamline the permitting process, our willingness to work directly with them, our sense of passion and hunger for cutting through the red tape and getting to yes. We now have gone from 571, we now have fewer than 400 boards and commissions, and I'm not done cutting. So we are consolidating, we are streamlining, we are moving with a sense of purpose.
Bevin was speaking at the International Finance and Infrastructure Cooperation Forum.
AK Steel today reported its best first quarter results in nearly a decade, but Chief Executive Officer Roger Newport is still not indicating when or if the Ashland blast furnace will be restarted. AK says it earned more than $62 million during the first 3 months of this year. That compares with a loss of $13.6 million for the first quarter of 2016. Newport says the latest figures show an improved pricing environment and progress in new product development. However, he's not committing to a resumption of full-scale operations at the Ashland Works.
On Ashland, we didn't rush to the decision to idle that facility, but we made that difficult decision to idle it. We've kept it on hot idle. We continue to put a couple million dollars a month into that facility to keep it in shape in the event we want to start it up. But it really depends on a few different factors. One will be what do we see the long-term outlook for the market conditions are.
The Ashland blast furnace was idled in December 2016 and resulted in the layoffs of more than 600 steel workers.
There will be a job fair at the Northeast Kentucky Career Center job site in Olive Hill tomorrow. Kentucky Staffing Solutions is sponsoring the event to hire employees for Superior Composites, a fiberglass company out of Vanceburg, looking to open a new line. The company is looking for individuals who can perform physical labor, pass a drug screening, have reliable transportation, and have flexible schedules. They are looking to hire 8- and 12-hour shifts with possible overtime. Kentucky Staffing Solutions recruiter Rachel Bowling says that working for that company comes with benefits.
They have great health care benefits for their full-time employees, and they also do sign-on bonuses, and they do different holiday programs and things. So they really, really do work well with employees. So we're just trying to help people in that area find something that's going to be good for the long term.
The fair will begin at 10 a.m. and last until 1 p.m. For more information, contact 606-286-4443.
Kentucky officials say annual unemployment rates fell in 86 of the state's counties in 2016 compared to 2015. Annual rates rose in 26 counties and stayed the same in 8. The Kentucky Office of Employment and Training says Woodford County had the state's lowest annual jobless rate in 2016. It was 3.2%. That was followed by Oldham County at 3.4%, Fayette and Shelby counties at 3.5% each, and Scott County at 3.7%. Officials say Magoffin County had the state's highest annual unemployment rate at 18.8%. Rowan County checked in at 5.5%.
When it comes to building new homes for his city's police and fire departments, Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent figures it's time to strike while the iron is hot. Trent figures the town's finances are just in the right shape to make the nearly $5 million projects happen.
Because right now, we fortunately, again, through the very strict and very thoughtful process of taking very seriously the fact that we're stewards of the taxpayers' money, we're back up to almost maximum bonding capacity. We've paid off several things now. We've had really good audits. We've came in under budget each time, all of our departments. So we're in pretty good shape right now.
Trent hopes to make an announcement about a property acquisition or acquisitions for the new police and fire stations by the fall. He admits it's still uncertain whether the city will build separate facilities for the two departments or construct one that they'll share.
An announcement made in Hazard yesterday will have a new industry flying into eastern Kentucky. Leaders with USA Drone Port announced plans to create the National Unmanned Robotic Research and Development Center in eastern Kentucky. The proposed port will be built near Knott and Perry counties and will include a 3,500-foot runway for fixed-wing aircraft, testing areas, unmanned vehicles on land and in water, along with an indoor flight facility. WYMT spoke with the Director of Operations for USA Drone Port, Bart Massey. He says the goal is to encourage manufacturers to set up in East Kentucky with the hopes of bringing in 500 jobs.
We're also going to have the need for restaurants, bed and breakfast, hotels. I mean, you can imagine all the way down the line, trucking. So I think it's going to, with the runoff, I think we're going to have a lot of jobs come to this area.
Organizers say the drone project will be the first of its kind in the U.S.
Sixth District Congressman Andy Barr struggled to tame a frustrated Lexington audience Monday night. The Coffee with Your Congressman event drew a packed house at Lafayette High School where constituents showered Barr with a barrage of questions on energy, internet privacy, and abortion. But most were there to press the third-term Republican on health care. This is Jill Shearer.
If you're consumed with repealing the ACA, how are you ever going to get it to work with both parties? Because health care is 1/6 of our economy, and you have to have it work. Both sides have to do it.
The third-term congressman was asked whether he supported President Donald Trump's border wall. He responded that it is part, but not all, of the solution to the country's broken immigration system. The scheduled 90-minute event ran as long as advertised, though Barr exited with more than 25 questioners waiting in line.
Kentucky Congressman John Yarmuth doubts if there will be money appropriated for a border wall between the U.S. and Mexico as part of a budget deal to keep the federal government operating. The Louisville lawmaker is the ranking Democrat on the House Budget Committee. Yarmuth spoke with C-SPAN's Newsmakers program.
I really think at heart there's not a real big appetite for border funding, even on the Republican side. You know, you've got a lot of border state Republicans who really aren't enthusiastic about building a wall on their border. And so I'm not sure that that's going to be a sticking point.
Even though Republicans now control the House, Senate, and the White House, Yarmuth claims Democrats have a lot of leverage in the current budget talks. Without a new agreement, federal agencies will run out of money at midnight Friday.
Senator Mitch McConnell is praising the confirmation of former Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue as the country's new agricultural secretary. The Kentucky Republican says Perdue grew up on a farm, worked as a veterinarian, and presided over $74 billion agricultural economy in Georgia. McConnell says Perdue is very well qualified for the post.
This is good news for our country, and it's certainly good news for my home state of Kentucky. Kentucky has a strong heritage of agriculture, which plays an invaluable role in our economy. From traditional cash crops like corn and soybeans to groundbreaking innovations like industrial hemp, Kentuckians continue to be on the forefront of agriculture with cutting-edge research and quality products.
Secretary Perdue is the first Southerner to head the agricultural department in more than 20 years.
A Johnson County jury will return tomorrow to decide whether an Inez woman should spend the rest of her life in prison or have a chance for parole. WYMT reports the jury has already convicted Amanda Bowen on 3 counts of murder, tampering with evidence, and robbery. Bowen and her boyfriend, Jack Smith, were both found guilty of stabbing Tina Goble, her boyfriend, Keeney Johnson, and Goble's granddaughter, Trinity Maynard, in August 2014. The trio was slain in their Martin County home, and then it was set on fire. Jack Smith is scheduled for sentencing May 12th.
3 men who conspired to fly drugs from California to Bluegrass Airport in Lexington made their first appearance in U.S. District Court yesterday. The Lexington Herald-Leader reports officials in California captured photos of suitcases being loaded onto a private jet and informed Homeland Security agents in Kentucky that a large shipment of drugs would be flown into Lexington Friday. According to an affidavit, when the plane landed, one of the suitcases was loaded into a car that later ran a stop sign. KSP stopped the vehicle and says it found the suitcase contained 40 pounds of meth. Police then searched the plane and reportedly found 80 bricks of suspected cocaine. Police arrested Isaac Bezalu, Cedric Ferrero, and Robert Carlson on charges of conspiring to distribute controlled substances. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for Friday.
The sale and use of methamphetamine is back on the rise in Rowan County, so says a local law enforcement official. Chief Deputy Joe Klein heads Operation Rowan Roundup, the anti-drug initiative started by the county sheriff's department in 2010. Klein says meth has become cheaper than pills and heroin, and dealers have also found it's easy to bring into Rowan County after it's made elsewhere.
If you get a number of people hooked, the demand's high, and they just start bringing it in. And that's basically how the whole pill issue started. You know, you had people addicted to prescription medication, and the demand was so high, and then the supply had to meet the demand.
Klein says the first time someone uses meth, they become hooked on it.
The Republican leadership in the Ohio House of Representatives announced plans today to spend an additional $170 million to battle the state's opioid crisis. That's in addition to the $1 billion Ohio is already pumping into that effort. The extra money would go for treatment, the expansion or construction of new detox centers, transitional housing, and mental health initiatives. State Representative Ryan Smith, whose district includes Lawrence County, chairs the House Finance and Appropriations Committee.
It's, I think, a step in the right direction. I realize that this epidemic is so large that I don't know what the right number is. In a challenging budget, we certainly made a huge commitment to this area. It's a multifaceted problem, and it's a multifaceted comprehensive approach to it in my mind.
Smith spoke at a press conference in Columbus. He says $9 million would also be funneled into workforce training programs.
And finally this afternoon, the famous battle over a boulder in the Ohio River will be shown tomorrow night during the screening of a documentary written and filmed by a Morehead State University instructor. Steve Middleton produced the piece about Indian Head Rock, which sat in the river between Portsmouth, Ohio and South Shore, Kentucky, until a historian removed it in 2007, sparking a legal fight between the two states. Middleton says the situation was generally portrayed by the national media as comedic, but what was lost in the shuffle was Indian Head Rock's historical significance.
So I find that interesting, that the one aspect of the film is once the news media sort of got on board and it became comedy fodder, it sort of lost its historic aspect, and it became just, you know, two states fighting over a rock. And but then again, You can't make this stuff up.
Middleton's documentary will be screened tomorrow night at 6:30 at Coffee Tree Books in Moorhead.
Taking a look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, some clouds in the evening will give way to mainly clear skies overnight, low of around 55 degrees. Tomorrow, expect a mainly sunny sky, high of around 84. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies, low of around 64 degrees. On Thursday, thunderstorms are possible, a high of 72 degrees. Chance of rain should be at 80%. Thursday night, some clouds early will give way to generally clear conditions overnight, low of around 52 degrees. On Friday, partly cloudy skies with afternoon showers or thunderstorms, high of around 79 degrees, chance of rain at 50%. And on Friday night, thunderstorms will be likely, low of around 64 degrees, chance of rain is at 100%. Right now in Ashland, it's 73 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 75 degrees. 72 degrees in Inez, 72 degrees in Lexington. In Winchester, it's 74 degrees, and it's 76 degrees on the campus of Moorhead State University.
4:46 on our feature segment this afternoon, there's a new director at the Moorhead Community Recycling Center, and some changes are in the offing. MSPR's Victoria Agee has more.
Colin Alexander took over the director's post 9 months ago. Since then, he's altered some of previous director Ali Seeker's approaches to recycling.
For instance, I found book brokers to buy the books, which wasn't happening before. They were just going as scrap paperweight, as well as e-scrap. I found a buyer for the e-scrap. So those are just different ways that I've looked at finding revenue. This is not the easiest economy to work in at times. It's up at the moment, which I'm thankful for. But recycling is a tough business, and any way you can get money is a good thing.
He says that he wants to build off of what Seeker had going. He's worked with local agencies and Moorhead State University to promote recycling. He's even found ways to recycle what's known as e-scrap. That's a blanket term for things like flat-screen TVs, printers, computers, and other electronic equipment that could be considered environmentally dangerous. He also says that he wants to garner a social media presence. According to him, it's one of the best ways to teach people about recycling.
I've used that in Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, particularly Facebook, to get people introduced to recycling ideas, events that we host, things not to do recycling, things to do recycling. And again, it's changing mindsets about recycling to, yeah, we need to, because this is our only earth and this is what we were supposed to do.
The center is a nonprofit organization that accepts paper, two different grades of plastic, and metal products. They are responsible for baling the materials up and putting them back in the marketplace. Alexander explains that even though he would like to take glass, there are simply no buyers for it.
Locally, it's almost impossible to get rid of, and post-consumer glass is what we were dealing with here before, like L8 bottles, beer bottles, that sort of glass. And that's really where the problem lies. No one wants that type of glass. I'm not an expert, not going to pretend to be. But there's a difference between that type of glass and, say, the windshield of a car in the chemical composition.
He knows, however, that there is something in the works to allow them to take it again.
I'm working with the U.S. Forestry Service to try to get some trail maintenance use out of post-consumer glass. That's in the works. That's why I can't really talk a whole lot about it. But we're hoping in the future to be able to take glass again and it to be put back into use into the community and better the community in the long run.
To learn more about the changes being made or information on what can and cannot be recycled, contact 606-784-1250. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Victoria Agee.
4:49, All Things Considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for programming on Moorhead State Public Radio is provided by Donate Life Kentucky. By joining Kentucky's Organ Donor Registry when renewing your driver's license, you can help 1,000 Kentucky children and adults who are waiting for a life-saving transplant. Anyone can register as an organ donor no matter your age. More information is online at trustforlife.org.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Representatives from the Missouri Valley Conference are visiting the Murray State University campus today. The MVC reportedly has some interest in luring the Racers away from their longtime conference home, the OVC. Moorhead State Athletic Director Brian Hutchinson says the fact that Valley officials are spending the day in Murray means the talks are likely serious.
but it doesn't mean it's a foregone conclusion. It just means let's get to know each other a little bit. Let's get on your campus and take a look at facilities and what the plans are going down the line and how does that line up with the rest of the league, because leagues should be schools that are similar and have something that they share in order to maintain some kind of a league status. And so I'm sure that most of this is a fact-gathering mission.
Murray State has been a member of the Ohio Valley Conference since its inception in 1948. The Cincinnati Reds will try to bounce back from their 11-7 loss last night in Milwaukee when they face the Brewers again in the Beer City at 7:40 tonight. One of the Reds' few highlights in the defeat was the work of rookie pitcher Ariel Hernandez. The 6'4", 230-pound right-hander came on in relief of struggling starter Amir Garrett to strike out five in firing 2 2/3 innings of scoreless ball. Manager Brian Price says Hernandez displayed some great stuff.
It's a big fastball-curveball combination. I mean, it's every bit of 96 to 100 with a power curveball. As good a breaking ball as we have in the system, and the challenge was getting him in the zone. And Danny's been working on him with his alignment, and he was sensational today. And couldn't have come up any bigger, really, in that situation. If he would have struggled today, it would have eviscerated what we have left of the bullpen.
Danny is Danny Darwin, the Reds pitching coach at AA Pensacola. 1-1, Scott Feldman will take the mound for the Reds tonight against Milwaukee's Zach Davies. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles have a 6 o'clock game tonight at Miami of Ohio. Coach Mike McGuire's 27-12 Eagles will be taking on a Redhawks team that sports a 16-25 record.
We played them last year at our place and handled them pretty well. They had struggled early, but they've played pretty well of late. We're playing up there. They got a turf field, so it's different than what we play on all the time. So, it's going to be a good challenge for us.
Miami's Redhawks are hitting just .257 as a team this spring. Meanwhile, the Redhawks pitching staff has compiled a collective ERA of 5.38. The Morehead State softball team returns to action tomorrow when it faces off with East Tennessee State at University Field at 2 p.m. The last time the two clubs met was back in March when the Eagles won 7-6. Coach David Williams expects the Bucks to give MSU a pretty good battle.
Well, we've played them once this year. They've got some really good bats in their lineup, so obviously we need to neutralize their bats. But once again, to score runs, that's the big thing. We've got to score runs. We've got a pretty good group of hitters right now, and if we can string those hits together and get them across the plate, we'll be okay.
The Eagles have a record of 24-18 on the year. ETSU is 21-20, but has won 5 of its last 6 games. The signees continue to roll in for the Morehead State men's basketball program. Emmanuel Thompson has signed his national letter of intent with MSU. Thompson averaged 11 points and 5 rebounds a game last season at Southwest Mississippi Community College. He joined Cedric Wright of Chipola Junior College in Florida and Devon Cooper of Wagner in High School in Kentucky as the Eagles' 3 signees for the 2017 class. Cooper averaged 21 points and 9 rebounds a game last season for Wagner. He spoke with Spectrum News about why he chose MSU.
Me and Coach Preston have a great relationship. He's been there since my sophomore year, and he never backed up. So I got a lot of trust in him and his staff. He's a great man. I think he knows what he's talking about. I mean, he's been to the best places, been to UK, an assistant at UK, and now he's a head coach at Morehead. So I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
A.J. Hicks from Columbia State Community College in Tennessee has also verbally committed to MSU. He averaged 18 points and 5 rebounds a game last season and was named a second-team All-American. The Kentucky football team is losing out on a highly prized recruit, MSPR's Chuck Mirage reports.
3-star quarterback Jaren Williams of Lawrenceville, Georgia, had committed to the Wildcats for 2018 last June. But according to the Lexington Herald leader, he's now backing out of that commitment. The 6'2", 205-pound Williams says he wants to make sure that he's making the best informed decision regarding his future. Less than 2 weeks ago, Williams had told the paper he was 100% committed to UK. However, he's now said to be looking at offers from several other schools, including Louisville, Alabama, LSU, Florida State, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Michigan State. Reporting for MSPR Sports, I'm Chuck Mraz.
One note from around the NFL, running back Adrian Peterson has signed a deal with the New Orleans Saints. It is a 2-year deal worth $7 million. And finally in sports, Dale Earnhardt Jr. has announced that he will be retiring from NASCAR at the end of the season. Earnhardt is a 14-time winner of NASCAR's Most Popular Driver Award. He has 26 career victory cups, including a pair of Daytona 500 wins. But as AP correspondent Paul Newberry reports, potential health concerns are causing Junior to call it a career.
He seems to be in good health, feels very good as coming back from this last concussion that kept him out of a lot of last season. But, you know, maybe the slow start combined with his age, he's accomplished a lot, and wanting to ensure that his health is good for the future, not risk it. He's feeling good, but, you know, that passion for driving is just not there anymore. Probably a good time to step away.
Earnhardt will drive his number 88 car for the last time at Kentucky Speedway in July when the track hosts the Cup race. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle baseball hosts Marshall at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, and Eagle softball welcomes East Tennessee State for a doubleheader at 2 and 4 p.m. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities rose sharply as solid quarterly reports from several large-cap companies gave the markets very good strength from the very beginning this morning. In anticipation of the president announcing tax law changes, gave the markets a very solid foundation. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a strong gain of 232.23 at 20,996.12. The S&P 500 was up 14.46 at 2388.61. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 41.67 at 6025.49. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 2-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. In earnings news, Caterpillar, McDonald's, 3M, and DuPont all beat expectations on both earnings and revenue, and all were up today, and except for 3M, they were all very strong today. Caterpillar was up 8%, and McDonald's was up 5.5%, and DuPont was up 3.5% in today's trading. 3M had a more muted reaction as the stock finished up about 0.5%. The Trump administration is expected to release an outline to potential tax reform later this week. And, of course, the president himself said tomorrow was we wouldn't know about tomorrow for sure. Tax reform expectations have been one of the key market drivers since the presidential election. Overseas, European equities rose broadly with a pan-European stock 600 index up 0.21%. In Asia, stocks closed mostly higher with the Shanghai Composite rising 0.16% and the Nikkei 225 advancing just over 1%. In economic news, U.S. home prices rose more than expected in February, according to the S&P Case-Shiller Index. The National Home Price Index jumped 5.8% for the month of February, and new home sales rose 5.8% for the month of March, which was above expectations. Consumer confidence held at 120.3 for the month of April. In the commodities markets, oil was up just over 1% at $49.75 a barrel. Gold was down almost 1% at $1,264.90 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Caterpillar and McDonald's, and the worst performers were Verizon and Coca-Cola. In the S&P 500, the best performers were again Caterpillar and Freeport-McMoRan, and the worst performers were Ryder Systems and Express Scripts. Turning out of stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.05 at $127.68, CSX up 81 cents at $50.94, AEP down 13 cents at $67.84, AK Steel down 72 cents despite better than expected earnings, with AK Steel closing at $6.39, Marathon Petroleum down 16 cents at $50.03, and Community Trust Bank was down 20 cents to finish at $44.90. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, some clouds in the evening will give way to mainly clear skies overnight, low of around 55 degrees. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies, high of around 84 degrees. On Wednesday night, mainly clear skies, low of around 64. Right now in Ashland, it's 73 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 75 degrees. In Inez, it's 72 degrees. In Lexington, it's 72 degrees. 74 degrees in Winchester, and it's 76 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
Stay with us. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock. And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Baraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Tilden Johnson, and Victoria Agee. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Dan Translator, W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.